United Podcast Experience listeners, welcome back to an episode of United Podcast Experience, another episode of United Podcast Experience. Today on the line, we have Joshua Hall from SwitSwim Co. It's interesting. He's been dated in swimming all his life. He started this company. That's enough for me. I'm going to let Josh introduce himself.
Hey, all. Thanks for having me on this podcast, first and foremost. It's just an honor, just in general, for you just to, like, reach out to us to be about it. But, yeah, I mean, I've been a swimmer my entire life. I started swimming at the age of 10 because my sister was faster than me. And so naturally I couldn't stand around a swim meet and have my sister be faster than me. So then my dad's just like, well, why don't you just join the swim team? And I did. And ever since then, I just love the sport. From 10 till about 18 years old is when I took it pretty seriously, getting a scholarship to swim at the University of Minnesota. After I swam at the University of Minnesota, I actually continued swimming post-grad, which is, you know, the closest thing that you could consider a professional swimmer. If I was to put, like, say, what a professional swimmer is like every meet that Michael Phelps was at or Ryan Lochte was at, I was swimming at as well. So that includes, like, world championships, international meets, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, I was able to take it up till about 2016. And then after that, I felt a little lull when it came to the swimming world and kind of how Split Swim Co. started from there. Likewise, my the co-founder of the company as well swam actually in Wisconsin during the exact same time that I did. We became best friends and roommates, and together we went ahead and contrived this idea.
Yeah, man, that's very interesting, just the swimming aspect of it and the fact that you have been in dating all your life and you really wanted to start something like this. Tell me a little bit about your days as a swimmer. What were some of the things you most enjoyed before you transitioned to the company? Favorite part?
Yeah. I mean, that's a great question, actually. I think, like, one of the biggest things I miss the most is actually, like, waking up and doing work and feeling the pain, which is odd, right? How many people can actually say they really enjoyed that kind of stuff? But I think, like, one of the biggest things I miss from swimming is actually the community. Like, our day-to-day was we woke up as a family, we swam together as a family, we trained together as a family, we traveled together as a family, and then we also, like, kind of won and lost as a family. And, of course, you know, that family includes the international teams, the high school teams, the college teams, right? But I think that sense of community was something that I think that actually transcends the sport itself. I think that if you look back on your life and you see some of the most incredible moments you had, it was cool. The medals were awesome. The accolades were great. But it was these little tiny moments throughout your entire career, you know, whether it was, you know, dumb things like playing water polo after a practice or goofing off during warm-up, or anything like that. It's those little moments that you miss with that community that kind of last a lifetime, which is kind of where the name Split Swim Co. came from, just in general.
Interesting. Very interesting how the name came about just through that community. And you're right, you don't hear many people say, well, the pain is the pleasure in the sense of the aspect. So,
right.
I guess that gives me into my next question a little bit. Was that always been your personality, somebody who likes when the tough get going, you got to get going and get up and get after it? Has that been your personality?
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the funniest things now is, you know, after swimming stopped, it was one of those things where I stopped too. Like, I didn't stop working out fully, but I wasn't, like, striving to achieve a goal, right, of, like, actually being a professional swimmer and being the best that I could. And that was something that was missing. And just started recently, I just started training actually for an Ironman, where I wake up at 5 o'clock every single morning. And it's odd how that little transition from just swimming to an Ironman, it's the only time in the last 3 years that I've actually felt normal again, which is odd to say, to wake up and, you know, to do a 50-mile bike ride or an 80-mile bike ride or, you know, run a half marathon before you head and do work, right? But it's the only time I've ever felt normal. So absolutely, I've definitely been that way that my entire life. But I also know, like, the co-founder as well, who's not on this call right now, he's also felt that same way.
Gotcha. It's always good to see people like that taking those striving moments It's important to take those striving moments and realize that when people aren't doing what you're supposed to be doing, the less traveled, the path less traveled, and you get up and get it after it, you can start getting ahead in not just business, but in life in general. So transitioning a little bit into now about the company, tell me where you guys are based out of and a little bit about how you started, like you said in the pre-call, this in the condo.
Yeah. So like one of the things is I think we've both been very entrepreneurial minded just in general, like creating something out of thin air. So we're based out of Huntington Beach, and it was actually just one weekend. We're like, you know what? We want to do something outside of our 9-to-5 jobs. And what better do we know than swimming, right? Like we've been doing it our whole lives. We know the community. We have a ton of connections in the swimming community. And we couldn't think, you know, like when it comes to a lot of ideas that people start with, right? They want to think of this like big grandeur idea. And we just said, you know what? We just need to start something. So it started as small as like, okay, so let's make goggles, right? And then we just started with, okay, if we were to make goggles, how would we do it? You know, where would we find manufacturers? Where would we get them shipped from? What would be the types of costs that we'd incur as a result of that? And we just wanted to make products for the swimming community. And that's like really how it all started. And I think that's like a big lesson for a lot of people who are wanting to start anything, is that sometimes we dream like so big when it comes down to like what we want to do, that dream itself like fails us because like the activation energy that it takes to do it, right? It's like, I'm going to build Google, I'm going to build Facebook. Well, there's going to be a high likelihood you're never going to build Google and you're never going to build Facebook. But, you know, those people that started that said, you know what, I'm just going to create a social network where people can, you know, feel like there's a community, or I'm going to build a search engine. And I think it's about building these smaller circles where you're taking these small steps. And if you take enough small steps in the right direction, I think they all compound to create something where I think the end result or the outcome will be something that you're incredibly proud of. And that's kind of where we are right now. I think even still, I know we've been doing it for about 2 years now, but we've just taken a bunch of small steps where we've seen those compound. And do we think that we're there yet? No, absolutely not. But it's incredible the type of reach that you have when you consistently do those little things over and over and over again, and the type of impact that you have on a community, whatever community that you're a part of.
No, I like how you say you start with the small entities, right? The small entities are, well, really, the backbone is the society. Look, we have Small Business Saturdays now. We have ways to empower these small communities and these small niche networks, because those are the things that really get you ahead. And same thing with yourself. Like, you're a small niche group, but in the reality, swimming is such a big industry with, you know, sports and Olympics and all that. You hear it on TV, especially around that time. So it's very,
yeah,
very, very honorable. So you mentioned you're from Huntington Beach, around the California. Would you have learned anything from people? I know it's a big tech startup land out there near Silicon and all that in California. Have you seen anything as far as that area of work in the technology industry? And you say, hey, you know what? There's some things that these guys are doing that we can improve on. What's your insight? How do you look at trends in that and try to improve your business?
Yeah, I think that's good. So we're a little south of like Silicon Valley, but to kind of piggyback off your question, like what have we learned from the people in our space? Like one of the biggest things is like our main channel of generating, let's say, traffic to our website and generating business has actually been through social media. So not as much the tech space as much as the social media space. And I think we've learned so much just by simply like getting out there and indexing what we learn from other people that are in that same space. Like simply just like going out there and looking at other people's feeds, seeing what they do, seeing what attracts an audience, seeing that, you know, the number one thing that we think about when we're posting on Instagram is not how can we go ahead and sell someone one of our products, but how can we add value to that person who's coming to our site, right, in the swimming community. And I think that's a big paradigm shift, because I think if you add enough value out there in the world when it comes to like your presence and what you're doing, naturally the outcome, which is, you know, to sell swim products, right? That's really the outcome. It's not what we're leading with, but it's really the outcome that would be ideal, right? But if you put enough value out there, naturally that the outcome that you're looking for will come as a result of that.
I like how you said you learn from the certain things and you learn from certain perspectives. And that industry, like you said, it's kind of a blessing, would you say, right? Because you're so close to that and you see these big names like Apple or even these small tech startups that, hey, they blossom out of the ground from nowhere. It gives you hope too for your company, I'm sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you hear all these incredible success stories, you know, and California was kind of the place where a lot of it started. But like, you just continue to, I don't know. I think in everyone, every single person you meet is innately gifted with someone, or I mean, gifted with something. And I think you always have something to learn. And as long as you consistently don't let your ego get in the way of what you're doing, you're consistently having that growth mindset to make sure that whatever you're doing, you're growing. I don't think you can lose. I really don't think you can lose.
Great points, man. I think growth mindset's definitely one. We'll talk about growth mindset a little bit later in the show. But you mentioned something important, man. It's the number one thing everyone says these days. How do you market yourself? How do you brand yourself? So tell me, when it was 2 years ago, Instagram or and whatever you use, tell me what your strategy was in like 2017 compared to now. Is it a little bit different? Do you showcase products in a different way now? What have you learned in those 2 years compared to where you first started out in the social game?
Oh, that's a great question. Yeah, so I think when we first started, right, and I think this is like just how naive anyone would start, it's like if you're selling a product to an audience, you think that if that product is good enough already and you're showcasing that product in the right way, people will buy it, right? And generally, if the product is good enough, no matter what, even if it's not good enough, right, you'll still always be able to sell it. But going back to like what the biggest things we've learned is that, you know, when people are on social media, I don't think everyone comes there with the intent to buy something, right? But I think people buy things as a result of that company adding enough value over time. So I'll use specific examples that we've done. So whether it's like a picture that's aesthetically pleasing with our products in it, or it doesn't have to be our products in it, right? It could just be swimming related. Whether it's like a drill video for people out there who want to learn additional drills to help them get faster, okay? Or it could be something funny. All those different things add value to that audience that you're marketing to, okay? And I think if you add enough value out there, then when you actually are asking for someone's business, right, you've earned the right to ask for their business because of the amount of value that you put out there. You can't expect them, right, to buy the product as a result of it. But remember, you're leading with value to your community out there. And then, you know, naturally, people are inclined to reciprocate that as a result of you putting that value out in the world. And I think that's the main thing that we've learned. Also, just like the reach, like in terms of like tactics, habits, like you have no clue the reach that you have with a specific post. I know we had a string of probably 4 or 5 viral posts that went out there just as a result of consistently doing it. You know, a lot of people these days, especially in this world, they use their Instagram feed to portray something that's perfect, right? Something that's perfect every single time. But in today's world, people don't care about quality as much. They do, like, there has to be a certain standard of quality there, right? It can't just be, you know, garbage that you're putting out there. But you don't know what quality is to your audience until you start putting things out there, right? You know, half the time, like, we didn't even know that our audience wanted drill videos until we did one. And then once we saw that they loved it, we kept doing it because that was value to them. So, like, any person in this space that's, whether they're using social media to market or not, I think you should consistently post everything. You should try everything. You should post exactly what you don't want to post, because what you'll do is then you'll actually learn what your audience has a tendency to like or what they find the most value in. And then also don't make sure everything's perfect. Like you choose speed over quality because you can always gain quality over time. But the people who are winning in these industries are the people that are doing it quickly, and then they're reiterating on whatever mistakes that they learn from whatever they were doing.
Like post the stuff you don't want to post and speed over time or speed over quality, right? Because at the end of the day, perfection really is a moving target. In some cases, it really doesn't exist. And the more you put in, the more consistently you put in stuff, the more you show up and attend each day, whether it's good or not, people are going to respect that because you took the time or 5, 10 minutes out of someone's day to engage, right? And would you say engaging to other people's feeds and comments help as well with the company branding?
Oh, without a doubt, yeah. Like a lot of people think of it as just like it's very linear in terms of a company, right? I'm the company, you're the community. It's your job to engage with me. But remember, this is a community. This is a network. It's the same as if you were to go into work every day and talk to the people around you, like commenting, right? And actually acknowledging someone, right? I think that's the biggest thing is a lot of people will say, oh, thanks, you know, cool. But like actually engaging with your audience, that matters so much because I think like that adds value to them first and foremost, like when it comes to that, but also adds value to you in the long run. Like it's your community, you should value them because at the end of the day, this is your end consumer that you're working with, and do it for the result of adding value to them, not for the end result of like actually selling, because the selling will take care of itself if you do that right.
Yeah, and then that goes with the community. The crowd draws a crowd. At the end of the day, someone sees you doing something good, and the swim community will rally up and favor it. And then anything that goes beyond is against, you know, the grain. They'll take care of it, just the way communities work. They'll filter the bad versus the good. Tell me what it is like in the swim community on social media. Have you noticed the big uproar with athletes, or is it just more swim enthusiasts, swim athletes all combined to one?
Yeah, I think that's the cool thing too, is I think initially we made the product, right? And this is why you always choose speed over quality, is we started making the product for competitive swimmers. And like, do we have a ton of competitive swimmers out there? Yeah. But has the reach extended way beyond that? Yeah. I mean, you know, we thought about it as just competitive swimmers, but then we have triathletes who follow us. We have, you know, recreational swimmers. We have moms who follow us who their kids are like little guppies in swim schools, right? You have every bit of that swimming community in there. And then based on whatever that community is, which we have a better understanding of now, is we're actually able then to tailor our products or tailor our feed towards that specific people. But I think we were so surprised when we started marketing out there that the demographic is still competitive swimmers, but it's a different demographic than we thought we were going to get. It's actually very mixed in terms of the people where we're getting, you know, people, master swimmers, triathletes, you know, it's incredible the reach that you have. So just continue going out there and doing it.
That's it. Just do, right? Just doing whatever goes beyond. Tell me about the products now.
Yep.
Is it from when you started, like when 2017, anything new that's been released since 2017 compared to 2019?
Oh yeah, for sure. The first thing that we started with was like we just want to do goggles because we know goggles, we know what people like, we know what people don't like. So we started with goggles. Then we went into mesh bags. Then we developed an entire clothing line. Then what we did was we actually started creating suits. And then we have a bunch of little trinkets and accessories that go along with it over time as well. So we've definitely developed that, but we've developed that based on the community that we've attracted as well. So I think that's a very unique insight that we've done is based on the community that we've had, we've actually developed our products and iterated as a result of that.
Gotcha. And is there anything in particular with the products that you make sure you, when you manufacture this or when you sell it, is there anything in particular you give benefits to people, let's say, who are really doing this professionally or endorsement deals or something of that nature where you're giving them a competitive advantage? What's like the, let's say, for a goggle? I know two goggles are the same. What gives the competitive swimmer the advantage when they wear your product, per se?
Yeah, for sure. So like, like in terms of like the competitive advantage, there's always things that everything is going to have. But when it comes to like our lenses, one of the trends that's out there right now when it comes to lenses is like this low friction type lens, where mm-hmm. instead of like the normal typical goggle that just covers your eyes, it kind of blends into one. So it's almost like the goggles are, it's like essentially like this, it's not like a face mask, but like when the water hits your face, right, it just kind of flows through it rather than stops and adds friction to it. So that's like one of the big things. And in terms of like our racing goggles, but like, you know, our suits are made, you can definitely race in them, but they're made for training right now. Like they're made actually, we have a manufacturer out in Anaheim here. But like our suits are wild. Like that's our brand. Like they have pineapples on them. They have like crazy designs. We like that because we always have felt that swimming is really just an expression of who you are, right? Mm. And so by giving people the ability to have so many choices in regards to their clothing, their suits, their goggles, their mesh bags, right? What they're bringing with them every single day. That's kind of like, that's really what we wanted to create for someone, is products that are expression of themselves that have the ability to create the swimming moments that they're looking for.
I like that. You have a message behind every product. You have something where it's like, hey, when you wear our products, you're getting this, this, this. You're not getting, you know, whatever's not going to be in there. So I like how you make it very customer loyalty and brand loyalty to the customer. It brings back the community feel, as we were talking about earlier, for sure.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
So you say this is a very interesting on your Instagram. It says water is our movement playground. Just tell me a little bit about what that mission statement means and what really just came behind the scenes of that. What was the meaning of that?
Yeah. So like, I think one of the biggest things that we've learned from swimming is like, you know, we put water as our movement playground because it's like, it's true, right? We have a variety of people that are following us, whether they're a triathlete, a master swimmer, a guppy learning to swim, a competitive swimmer, right? We all use water as like, as our medium to express ourselves, right? And I think one of the biggest things when it comes to that is, you know, the little 10-year-old that just got a state cut, or the little like 5-year-old that just learned to do freestyle the same, is the feeling that they have when they accomplish something is no different than the Olympian who just won a gold medal. Like, I don't know how different it is, but it's still like that bit of elation or that bit of joy when they're using water as the medium to achieve that, right? So it's like water's our moving playground, but like one of the biggest things is that it creates moments for every single person, and no one's moment is really different than the other. I mean, but as they're characterized by society, right? Generally, like an Olympic medal is of course like a lot bigger than the 10-year-old getting the state cut. But the feeling that those people have, right, is not everyone will be an Olympian. Not everyone will achieve, you know, a college scholarship. Not everyone will even make a varsity team. Not everyone will even want to swim. But every one of these moments throughout our life, when we're in the water, like, are a piece of who we are long term. And that's really where we wanted the brand to come in, is the brand to come in to help you create these moments that you're going to remember for your whole life. Like, I personally could speak to probably 2 or 3 different ones that I've had where just like water, you know, like that moment in my life is one that I can look back and be extremely grateful for, you know? And that's really what the brand is centered around. It's chasing these swim moments.
I like how you said that. It doesn't matter if you're a 10-year-old guppy or, you know, it's Olympian athlete. I think it matters. The more important thing that matters is the moment within the swim, right? Each moment you take that swim, you step into that pool, there's going to be something that defines you. And the more moments you can be defined by, and the more moments you can lift yourself and get out of that water, say you were satisfied with the work out casually or an Olympic meet, it just makes a difference for sure.
Yeah.
So would you ever branch out, or do you think branch into like another industry of water, let's say surfing or kayaking, let's say? Would you ever consider that, those type of equipment, or just simply swimming for now?
Yeah, I mean, like our primary focus is swimming, it's what we know, but I think one of the cool things about just starting just in general is you never know like the reach that you're going to have, right? Like, who says that we don't start to create fins where people who body surf or people, in Huntington Beach don't want to use those, right? That's actually like a lot of times people start with one product and an audience that they're selling to, and they don't realize that they're actually selling to a different audience. So I think it's something that's always on our mind right now. Our focus, of course, is in the swimming world, but like you continue to learn, you continue to change your product, and like anything can change at any given moment.
Right, we don't know the next day, right? The next day demographic can change from, what you thought it was, and then all of a sudden you see a boost in that, and you adjust and adapt accordingly, for sure.
Yeah, without a doubt, man.
So a little bit about now, when you, because I noticed your Instagram is one of the only very few I've looked at that has the Instagram shop, where you can just click on the shopping bag. Tell me how you set that up, and for anybody trying to get into that shop world, what it's like.
Yeah, so like we integrate a lot of our social media with a Shopify. So we have our own website where we house all the products that we have, and then through that website we're able to integrate, your ability to, let's say, purchase a product directly through Instagram. We also sell on Amazon as well. Now to be able to do it, right? This is actually something that, I would tell someone if they're looking how to do it. I could definitely walk them through it, or my co-founder could walk them through it, but I would recommend just doing it the same way that everyone else does it, right? Google it. That's your best resource that you're going to have when it comes down to it. But you just can't give up, because like a lot of the things we didn't know, like how the heck do you become, like one of the things is like how the heck do you get your product being prime, right? How do you get it to a warehouse? What are the costs that are incurred with it? How do you develop a Shopify website? What are templates? What are different apps that you can use? And it can get overwhelming at sometimes. I'll admit that. Like there are some times where I think I'm a tech person, but like it was overwhelming at times. But I think the biggest thing is just like continue to take small steps forward when it comes to creating stuff. Like even if it's as simple as, today I'm going to develop the page just for the goggles, right? Then tomorrow it's just for the mesh bags. The next day I'm going to look into terms of how people get on Prime, right? The next day I'm going to call a manufacturer, or I'm going to call 10 manufacturers. But it's those little goals over time that help you get to where you want to be. And that's why you should consistently make those little goals to be able to do that.
I
Hopefully
like
that
that.
answered your question and wasn't too cryptic.
No, that's good, brother. No, I like that. Little goals at a time can get you some. And like you said, no matter what you try to do, always use a Google as a reference. The answers are right in
Yeah.
front of ourselves, man, at the end of the day. So it's a good point to keep it going like that. So the website, a little bit about website. When I click on your website, you definitely have a great message. Of course, you have the logo, which we'll talk about in a second. And we'll talk about just the way you set it up. Tell me how you set up the website. Is it just the same thing you learned from Google, or do you have a strategic plan when it comes to setting up the website?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely, so I mean, like one of the things that we did was we used Shopify and we used a template, and then over time, based on where people were clicking, we've changed it, right? So like one of the big things when it comes to e-commerce is like navigation is one of the biggest things, right? If people get overwhelmed with navigating to a specific product, they'll drop off your site, right? So making sure that there's that big, bold, like clear where you can navigate to find something specific. And then also like when it comes to like those big bold icons at the top, our goggles are our biggest seller. So we want to
Okay.
make sure that when, someone comes to our site, we're able to showcase that to them. Because we know if we're able to showcase that to them, right, it's already a proven product that's out in the industry that people buy, that they like, that we've gotten a ton of reviews on. So that's the big thing where we're focusing on our strengths to help highlight, and then based on those strengths, naturally, right, you start to develop a web, and people are like, oh, I really like their goggles. Now I want to go see how their other products are. And the lifetime value of a customer, is way more than just their first purchase. So the biggest thing, how this was set up, is just to make sure that we're able to acquire someone, but then also make it easy to navigate and to keep them coming back.
Gotcha. It's almost like a, it's what we were talking about. You want to make sure you create those memories and moments, but also making it aesthetically pleasing, right, on the website, and also making sure when you wear the products, it's trusted. It's got the whole Split Swim Co. brand message. Gotcha. So a little bit about, we talked about earlier about personal development and growth mindset. Tell me a little bit about what you do to make sure you're always moving in the growth mindset and personal development of yourself to be a better, not a swimmer, but just a businessman, entrepreneur too.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's like the constant and never ending improvement and commitment to yourself. Like, you know, one of the big things I've gotten away from is like, even as simple as driving in the morning, I don't listen to music. I listen to podcasts, you know,
mm-hmm.
I read books. Also one of the big things is I don't always read books about business. I don't always read books about self-development, always challenging yourself to read things outside of your natural scope will actually help you grow as well. You know? So like every single day, I know my other co-founder does this as well, is like committing at least 30 minutes every single day to self-improvement, whether that's reading a book, whether that's reading an article, whether that's listening to an audiobook, whether that's sitting down for, you know, a second for a cup of coffee with someone that you know, like those things are so important. Because, you know, the moment you remain stagnant, everyone knows this, is like you lose your drive, you lose your motivation. But as long as you're consistently learning, but bigger
right.
than just the learning part is actually implementing what you learn, like you just can't lose.
No, you make a very good point. Is there anything in particular that you've been doing right now that caught your eye, like reading or listening to any show or book?
You know, I'm going to shout out like some of the bigger ones that I've like. Number one podcast I listen to is Tim Ferriss.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why I like Tim Ferriss so much is he really does break down world-class performers in every aspect, and he puts it in like a bite-sized piece for any normal human being, you know, to take in and then regurgitate out in their own lives. So I really like what he does. Some of the better books that I've read are some of the books that I love. The Alchemist, of course, that's like one of my favorite books of all time. Highly recommend. It's like an international bestseller. If you haven't read it, pick it up today. A lot of like personal books. I'm personally a fan of Tony Robbins. I like Tony Robbins because it's just about him working on it. You have to work on yourself first, right? Once you work on yourself, naturally things outside of yourself will come to fruition a lot quicker.
Mm-hmm.
I love all of Tim Ferriss's books. Even like, you know, books like The 4-Hour Chef, The 4-Hour Body, which is way outside the scope of business, right? Or Tools of Titans. Those little things give you bite-sized pieces, once again, in terms of what world-class performers are able to do. But like everything, I mean, I think I read everything. I know the other co-founder does as well, just when it comes to books and audiobooks and podcasts as well.
Gotcha. It's a wide variety, grand scope kind of deal.
For sure. Yeah.
No, it's good, man. It's good for growth and it's good for development. So this is something I've always wondered, because I have one of these founders on my show. Would you ever consider doing a community day or going to some type of local event, swim meet, and speaking to one of, say, kids or something? Would you ever consider that?
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah. I think what's unique about us just in general is like, yeah, like having a swim company is unique, but I think bigger than that is like having a swim company and then actually a story behind it, or
yeah.
talking from our own experience is truly valuable. Not to say like I'm valuable as a human, but hopefully someone who is listening to me can find value from that and then intertwine that value within their own experience that they're going through. So like, yeah, absolutely. Like a community day or going to a specific swim club, you know, like as I was growing up and I was, you know, swimming at world championships and becoming, you know, a better swimmer or like a world caliber swimmer. It was one of the things that I love to do most is go to local clubs in my area, speak at, you know, swim camps, et cetera, et cetera. And I think this, not only now does that, the swimming career itself give me a platform, give my co-founder a platform, but also now this additive gives us even a bigger platform where I think we can help more people.
I like it, man. Now you sound like you've got a great intangible right there to keep going and pursuing. You know, keep always pursuing to make sure you put your, not only your brand message across, but the swim culture across for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So when you get to, let's say someone's buying your product, or the next generation guppy, let's say 10, 15 years old, if you had to say one message to them when they become that, you know, Olympian, or they become that, whatever they want to strive for in the swimming industry, what would you say when they're wearing your product if you had the chance? When they're, is there anything in particular you would say to the young generation customer?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's a loaded question because, I mean, I think there's so many things that I would want to go through with them. But I think the biggest message, and I think this is one of the hardest things that's kicked me in the face over time, is anchor gratitude in the ordinary moments that you have. And the reason why I say that is because I think everyone is out there in this world and they're trying to chase something, right? They're trying to chase something that's out of this world or extraordinary, or that's the type of toll that society puts on us. But I think if you anchor gratitude in these little tiny moments every single day, whether that's the cup of coffee that you have before, you know, swim practice, or the bowl of cereal, or you know, the little game that you play before swim practice, or the people that you meet, like all those anchoring gratitude in those moments make the extraordinary moments truly extraordinary. And also I think at that point is there's a lot more to, you know, if you spend your life, your entire life only chasing the extraordinary moments, right? And you don't reach them, in your mind, you failed. And I think that as long as you're anchoring your thoughts and your little wins every single day, you can't lose, and you're always going to have a higher chance of reaching whatever that end goal is that you decide to pursue, because now you're focusing every single day on the effort you're putting into it, not the outcomes.
I like that. Because entrepreneurship and the business world, when you're out there alone, I know you have a co-founder, but I'm sure he could say the same thing. When you're out there, you know, doing your thing on your grind, would you say gratitude comes into play knowing you have so much customers, community, and support? Would that help you? And it's, let's say when you get down and you feel like it's just been a rough day in the office.
Oh, without a doubt. I think that's like the biggest thing. I remember when we first started, or like, dang, we're starting from zero. Like, you start from zero followers, right? No matter where you start, you're going to start with zero followers. And then we started getting one, two, three, four. And I was just like, wow, this is going really slow. But you know what? That's five people that found enough value in you that are now following you, right? Now, I think we're at like 12,000, 12.6 or something. But
yes.
I think that's absolutely extraordinary. That, like, when you break it down, you're like, do we have 100,000 followers? Do we have 1 million followers? No, we don't. But we have literally 12,600 people who found enough value in us that they're watching us. And I think, and, you know, that's with not a ton of effort just in general. Like, you know, like when you think about the total effort that we put in, we definitely put in a lot of effort, but like,
right.
That's 12,600 people that we didn't have before. And to be grateful for something like that, like, that's a huge, huge win. That's a one example of that.
I have to applaud you, because when I found you on my old account, I mean, you were, I think I followed you at like 500 or like 1,000 or something like that. The fact that you've 12 times the growth, or some crazy number of that growth, you know, it shows that you put the grind, you put the dedication, you put the effort. It doesn't have to be hard effort, just enough, you know, just to get it done and show up and attend. It does make a difference. So I applaud you for that.
Thanks, man.
No, absolutely. Keep up the great work. So we're getting close to the end. We'll do one more question before I talk about future goals. So when we talk about legacy building and legacy, let's say the legacy of this company, it's obviously still in its very young stages. What do you want the legacy to be, let's say, in 10 years, as far as Split Swim Co.?
Yeah, that's a really great question. I think when we talk about legacy, people will probably always forget the product that they purchased or the goggles that they wore, right? It's true. However much that hurts my ego. But I think the thing that they'll never forget is like impact. I think one of the biggest reasons we started this is we know that we need to build an audience, and the easiest way to help out people first is to, you know, put yourself out there and be profitable, right? And the reason why being profitable helps is now you can extend your reach a lot more, right? A lot of people have different views on this, but at the end of the day, you know, you talk about, you know, Amazon, or you talk about Google, or different companies that, you know, are a for-profit organization. Right. The type of impact that they have as a result of that, you know, that massive growth, you know, can generally outperform a lot of different things out there. So that, I guess I took a little bit of a turn, but I think impact. I think like one of the biggest things is finding a niche way to impact the swim community in a positive way that has nothing to do with making money, whether that's being able to give out free gear, being able to support, you know, a child who's, you know, homeless and doesn't have the means to afford his swim club dues, you know, all those different things we've looked at. But I think that's the number one goal that we have, especially in the near future, is to see how we can begin to impact the swim community in a positive way, because we understand the type of impact that the sport has had on us. And we know that with enough impact, like, you have the ability to change someone's life. And I think that's, a really cool way to lead.
No, it is, man. Impact theory, right? I think it's Tom Billy or something like that. He talks about impact theory, but this one, you know, especially with the sports community, right? Let's just take swimming aside, just the way sports work in general. It's all about what impact, community, getting in that local niche audience, because that's what sports do for us. You know, they connect us, they unite us in the fact that we can have great competition, and we can also, you know, say, hey, it's another human being we beat, but we can still have respect for them. Or when we wear our products, we can still share a message, a brand story. So it's definitely on the right track. I can definitely see that in 10 years becoming not just your company, but all the companies embracing that for sure. So the last question I have is, what is your end of the year plans for 2019 for the company and yourself even?
Can you say that question one more time?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. What's your last, like, your last image? Let's say 2019 is about to end. So what's your end of the year goals for the Split Swim Co. and yourself personally?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think when it comes to like end goals, I'd love to say that it's in terms of sales, but I don't think it is at all. I think it's actually finding that outlet or that way to impact. I know we've been looking into it a lot, but it's actually finding the way now that, okay, how can we now turn in, you know, the ability to sell products, training gear, apparel to the swimming community, and how can we go ahead and reverse engineer that to be able to have an impact? So it's, I think at the end of the day, 2019, the biggest goal is how can we give back the most? And I think finding that outlet first and foremost will where we start. And then, you know, as we continue to iterate year over year, it's now how do we measure that impact? How do we shoot for whatever that is? And then how do we just go out and do it?
I love it, brother. Just impact, execute. That's a great way to end the show. I think it just shows you, you just put your mind to it. You execute what you got, and you can go further in life. Before we go, man, you want to just plug your social media handles so people can find you and our audience?
Absolutely. So on Instagram, it's going to be at Split Swim Co. So it's SplitSwimCo at Split Swim Co. Yeah.
Perfect. About there we go. That's it. That's perfect. I'd like to thank the United Podcast Experience listeners for, as always, giving their time to not only myself, but the guests. And Josh, brother, it's been a pleasure, bro. Thank you so much for taking your time out of your day, and we'll see you around.
Pleasure as well. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you for joining us today on the United Podcast Experience. If you're not already, be sure to subscribe so that way you can stay up to date with all of our guests. Check the description for all the links pertaining to everything discussed today. And if you want to be promoted or know somebody who should be, reach out to us at the United Promotion on Instagram. And be sure to follow us there as well to stay up to date with all of our guests.